This is a podcast devoted to your San Francisco Giants.
The ball game is over. The series is over. The Giants are heading to Philadelphia for the National League Championship Series.
If you're sick of the East Coast bias, this podcast is for you.
Strike three, called! A cutter on the outside corner at the knees. The ball game is over, and the Giants have won the National League pennant.
With your hosts, Willie Dills, Mike G., and Ben Lee.
Swing and a miss, and that's it! The Giants are world champions as they come pouring out of the dugout, circling Brian Wilson, the bullpen, flying in from left center field, dancing, hugging, and celebrating for all you Giants fans, wherever you are, this party is just getting started.
Don't forget your glove, grab some pine, and settle in. This is Torture Cast.
Welcome to Torture Cast, everybody, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants, the formerly good baseball team, San Francisco Giants. My name is Willie Dills, and I'm joined, of course, by my two co-hosts. I'll introduce first Mikey G. Mike G, what's going on, man?
Hi, everybody.
How are you today, sir?
I'm doing very good.
You're doing very good? Okay.
I had a blast today. It sucks, but
You had fun. Yeah. So we'll talk about that a little bit, too. You were at the game today. And, of course, joining us as well is Ben Lee. Ben Lee, the freshly moved and freshly plugged in and freshly battery recharged Ben Lee. Welcome back to Torture Cast.
My house smells like IKEA.
And it sounds like non-robotics. It's pretty good, man. You sound great.
I'm pretty excited about that part. The fact that you can actually, like, hear me. And as opposed to, you know, I may have to go into a sudden robo fit just for old time's sake. We'll see. He'll be in the middle of a really good rant about something. Let's see if I can work one in there.
Robo Ben was voted as the number one favorite TortureCast character recently in a poll of all of our fans. So
40,000.
I like how I know you said our fans, but I heard our fan, and I'm pretty.
Oh no, I said our fan.
Only have one. All right.
I did say our fan. Although we do have some new.
Loves it.
We do have some new 5-star reviews though, and we'll get to those a little bit later in the show as well. Guys, Giants baseball has not been so fun lately, and I tweeted out recently that I have stopped believing, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as well, too. It's been rough these days. It's been really, really rough. I mean, the offense is not good. We had this big series against the Diamondbacks, and we're recording today on September 4th, so the Sunday day game just happened. We just lost again. This time we were up most of the game and then gave up a 4-spot in the 8th inning to lose the series. And I guess, you know, let's just go ahead and just start with this. We're 7 games back. This is the farthest back we've been all year. And, you know, this is not the time to be 7 games back. This time last year, I looked this up, we were actually 2 games behind the Padres at this time last year. So even though we did get pretty far behind the Padres in 2010, at this point in the season, we were only a couple games back, and we were starting to make our move. The Padres had just gone through their 10-game losing streak, and they weren't playing well, and we were playing well. That is not true this year, and I personally, I'm not believing anymore. I'm not a believer. They keep playing that song, though. Did they play that today, Mike?
Yes, they did.
7th inning or 8th inning or whatever?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, was it after or before the 4-run spot by the...
It was after.
It was after. So, like, right after we get 4 runs scored on us, they're like, oh, we still believe, man. Come on.
It was actually, no, it was tied 1-1 at that time.
Oh, okay. All right. That's not so bad. So, I don't know. What do you guys think? Ben, are you a believer still? Do you think it's possible?
I will say that my faith is eroding fast. Coming out of this series 7 games down, and I don't have a whole lot of hope that we're going to sweep a series in Chase Field the way that this team is looking right now. And to be honest, it just kind of feels like Arizona is, they have the offense that won't quit and the pitching rotation that's going to do just enough.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the reverse of our offense that did just enough and our pitching that wouldn't quit. And it just kind of feels like you guys might have noticed, and I hate to say it, but the tables have turned a little bit. We're kind of at the Padres this year, although we're not nearly as bad as the Padres. We've got, you know, way better pitching than they ever did last year. But the Arizona is doing a lot of the things that we were doing last year on that, like, miracle, sudden, unexpected run to the finish line.
Yeah, they came from behind.
Do every year.
Yeah, they came from behind. They pulled ahead, and we started playing bad. It's very much a reverse situation of what happened last year.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You know, I do believe we are a better team than the Padres were last year. The Padres are really built around the strength of their bullpen and being able to score a few runs early and then holding you.
In fairness, last year, though, the Padres did have Adrian Gonzalez, and Carlos Beltran is only just beginning to get anywhere near an equivalent of that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, Adrian Gonzalez has proved this year that he is one of the elite baseball players who was playing in a stadium that basically just didn't, wasn't conducive to offense, and was kind of getting
still
lost.
Isn't.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a complete monster since he's gone over to Boston, so... we don't have that. We don't have anybody who you could consider a monster this year. And even Beltran, who should be one of the, you know, has been one of the better players in the National League, just really hasn't done it this year. He is coming around a little bit, starting to swing the bat a little bit better, but it's a little bit too little too late, I'd say. Mike, what about you? Are you believing still?
I'm a little bit with Ben. It's eroding quickly, but I'm trying my hardest to just stay positive. I mean, it was cool seeing those little glimmers of hope when we won those two couple games.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
Yeah, it is. You know, honestly, a lot of people felt after the Cubs game, and, you know, we dumped Rowan, we dumped Tejada, then we won, and then we won again. Everyone was starting to feel like, oh, cool, you know, this can work.
Yeah, for the moment, you're like, maybe we're back in this. And then you sort of, like, you sit back and look at it for a minute, and you're like, well, when you think about it, though, we don't have a Justin Upton. We want to believe that it's Pablo or Belt, but Bochy doesn't know how to play Belt.
You
know, I mean,
Pablo's also not 100%, neither is
agreed.
Beltran. Nobody's 100% right now. And right now, the Diamondbacks, like, they're not aching the way we are. I mean... they're hitting their stride, you know. You watch those guys, they're running hard, they're playing hard, and everybody kind of looks like they're nursing some kind of injury up and down the lineup. No one's looking like they're going to turn it on in September the way we did last year. I mean, last year in September, we became like the three-run home run monsters. Like, all of a sudden, our offense was just able to kind of, you know, go along, not score a lot, and then all of a sudden, one inning, someone would just, you know, bomb one, and then that was enough.
But I'm going to venture, though, that Pat Burrell and Juan Uribe had a ton to do with that, and neither of them have been major players this year. So I think that there's a lot to say for this. Is really, looking at it now, and even before the trades, this kind of felt like a little bit of a different team than we had. More so now, especially.
You know, I mean, if we put our best team on the field all year this year, I do believe that we had the best team in the National League West. Losing Posey, losing Sanchez, losing pretty much everybody at some point in the year has just made this one of those years where it's like, to be, even be in it in September is kind of an accomplishment.
It's a huge stroke of bad luck, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was.
I think it's the Dodgers who are the only team that has used the designated list. The disabled list more than we have this year.
I think the designated list is called the lineup, and I believe it's used in a very particular time.
I think they should get rid of the designated list, don't you think so? That's been around for way too long. Yeah.
It's crazy American League. Do some weird things over there.
Let's talk about something that's kind of funny rather than something that's so depressing, like the Giants and their offensive woes. Ben, we meant to talk about this a few episodes ago. We never kind of got around to it.
We never quite made it,
No, but our rival podcast, known as Giants Pod or the Two Guys, a Glove and a Coke Bottle podcast, by Danny and Thomas, which I really like, and you should definitely go check out that show. They held a torture cast joke contest. Now, I didn't actually even know about this until you kind of hit me to it after it had been going on. What was the contest? What were people asked to do?
Well, essentially, so Thomas and Danny had a couple of spare shirts that were themed around Buster Posey, made by Basic Clothing. You can find them on Twitter. It's So Basic, I think. And it's Basic spelled like, you know.
Like the bay.
What's up, y'all? Yeah. This bay is sick. So it's Basic Clothing did a couple of shirts about Posey, and they had a few left that they had gotten kind of as, you know, from them, and said, well, You know what? Why don't we give those away? Let's do it as a contest. So they had a contest about making jokes about TortureCast.
And how long our show is.
And how, well, it wasn't necessarily just about how long our show was, but man, that's weird. That's the easiest topic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
If anybody out there reads our Twitter, which for those of you that don't make it to the bumper at the end of the show is at TortureCast.
That's right.
We make jokes about our long podcast all the time.
Yes.
It's one of our favorite topics.
It was funny because I think Giants Pod was the first one to do it. And then we quickly decided that we were going to go ahead and roll with it. Much like the baby giraffe. We were like, you know what? Sure. Why not? We'll stick with this. And then it's kind of spiraled out of control, like where it's like, I will log on to Twitter and just it'll just be like nonstop. And I'm like, cool. At least there's something that people are saying about our show. Although I'll say this.
I'll take it.
I'll say this. I come from a different school of podcasting than they do because I do another show that is regularly almost 2 hours long and gets about 100,000 downloads a week. And people don't seem to care. They ask for us to do it daily. So it's just a different school of podcasting. Their shows are much more around the half hour length. I'm more of like, and Mike, you went to, you know, San Francisco State with me in the Becca program.
Mm-hmm.
We do like 2 hour radio shows. That's kind of the deal, you know? So it's, to me, it doesn't feel long, but if you come from the other school where podcasts are supposed to be short and to the point, then yeah, our show definitely probably feels very long to you.
Which in fairness is actually the school that I come from. You know, I have listened to a lot of podcasts that tend to run about 30 minutes and, you know, it's a nice length, but, you know, my favorite, Baseball Today, runs about an hour a day. So you're listening about 5 hours a week. And I don't really mind that. It's just that it's broken up more frequently.
Yeah. And I listen to a lot of KNBR where those guys are doing, you know, 2 to 3 hour blocks. Some of them even like four hours.
95.7 now. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you listen to like Gary Radnich, they're on the air for about 4 hours every day. So that's kind of when you actually want to go into radio, you need to kind of be prepared to go that long. And I think that's probably why I've kind of developed that kind of brand of podcasting. Yeah, exactly. Let's just talk it out. Let's go ahead. We'll talk it out, you know?
We're gonna do this worst case scenario style.
Yeah, exactly. So, Ben, I thought the funniest thing about this, though, was that other people did participate in this contest, correct? But
yeah,
the winner,
there were a few entries.
But the winner of the contest to make fun of TortureCast was actually you.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's pretty funny. I actually pulled up the email if you wanted me to read it.
Yeah, give us some of the some of the best ones out of there.
I'll put it out there. There were a couple of jokes. Some of them had a very literary connotation, were very well done. Some of them weren't really jokes so much. It was just people kind of slagging on TortureCast for being long, and you could hear it. The guys were kind of like, "Yeah, that's not really that funny."
We were asking for jokes, guys. TortureCast jokes.
Respect to Thomas and Danny for keeping it classy. But all right, I'll do this kind of speedy like. But I decided that, you know, at first I was going to send an entry, and then they said they had a deadline for it. You know, they did it like a proper contest, and I missed the deadline. I got home real late one night, and so I went ahead and instead I decided that I would.
Oh, controversial! He's admitting right here he missed the deadline and still won the contest.
I did indeed.
Oh,
you know,
man. You should have never told anybody that, dude. You should never said a word.
Here, you can
perjury.
You know what? Here's what I say. You go listen to their episode like any good Giants fan should, and then you tell me what you think from there.
Okay.
But in that case, maybe I shouldn't even read the email, you know?
No. Let's hear some of the – just give us some of the better jokes because you actually showed me the email, and you had some really good ones in there.
All right, so Dear Pod of Giants, a message from one of the ever-running mouths behind TortureCast, which is still so long it makes Yankees-Red Sox games look like YouTube highlights. Specifically from Ben Lee, who is absolutely not the resident stat head in his mother's basement because he lives on his mother's second floor, although I have now since moved, finally.
Nice.
Now I live on the second floor somewhere else, but there isn't a basement here.
There's probably a mother living there at some point.
I wouldn't be surprised. All right, but yeah, totally different. So I just wanted to write in and say that this entire contest is ridiculous. You see, TortureCast has quickly gained fame and renown in only our meager 8 episodes of existence at the time. Consider the ways in which our podcast has already made sweeping contributions to humanity. Dentists everywhere have adopted TortureCast as their preferred method of choice for patients uncomfortable with conventional anesthetics.
I'm going to start just giving you some booms here, so keep on going.
Congressmen have forgone the classical filibuster in favor of TortureCast episodes, as they run longer than the traditional reading of the phone book.
Boom!
We're ensuring that you can keep yourself occupied during that entire load of laundry.
Boom!
And the next one.
Boom!
and the next one.
Boom!
And the trip to the grocery store after that, and the stop by the post office, and the quick run to Walgreens, and while painting an entire house.
Boom!
We like to consider ourselves the Wonka's everlasting gobstopper of the Giants podcast community.
Boom. Oh no, where'd he go? I want more.
Those were fantastic.
Did we lose Ben again? Oh, that would suck so bad. He's probably still talking right now, which is funny. Yeah, I'm getting a little spinny thing over Ben. Ben Friedley went offline. Boom. His jokes were too funny, folks. Skype had to cut him off. I can't wait till he gets back because I want to know if he got his shirt. Oh, hey.
Hey. I like how he just smoothly comes back.
I know. It is a smooth transition.
It's because my Skype, for whatever reason, is just cutting out and springing back up. I'm just kind of
It is up, it's fantastic, Ben.
I'm glad it sounds great. I would love to know why it isn't staying connected.
Yeah, we'd all love to know. Give us your finale here, because I know there was some good ones right at the bottom, too.
Oh, yeah. So the only other good one was at the end. I said, sincerely, the Torture Cast. The only Giants podcast that can keep Brandon Belt entertained in between appearances.
Boom! So, Ben, have you gotten your shirt?
I have not, it's worth pointing out, though, that the reason I haven't gotten it is because Danny is holding out for us to finally organize our Giants Pod Torture Cast Trivia Throwdown.
Okay.
So we need to try and get working on that. It's a little tough to get our schedules to line up. But,
yeah, unfortunately, we work on weekends, all three of us. And since I go to school all week, and then I have to work on weekends, if I get a weekend day off, I basically have no hours. So if you're listening out there, Danny and Thomas, try to work with us a little bit. Maybe we'll do it in the off season. Maybe we'll see what we could do. We go to a minor league game or something like that, right? Don't they play some minor league games still in the off season? Like there's some winter leagues or whatever. Oh, they don't have anything near us.
I mean, if you want to fly out to Arizona, I'm
I know you're down.
Let's do it. Field trip.
Screw that. Let's go to Venezuela, dude. Let's go watch some real winter league.
Yes.
Head out to the Dominican. No big.
All right. So I think you clearly deserved that shirt, and we're going to have to do everything we can to make sure that happens. Let's talk a little bit about the way the Giants are going right now. We're probably going to be out of it pretty soon, unless miracles happen, which can happen, I guess. We're 7 games out now. We need to make up ground basically every other day. We need to make up a game like every other day for the rest of the season. And
basically, we need to play at least 500 ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Preferably better.
So I mentioned today to you in the break room, Ben, that I would like to see either we get quickly back into the mix or we fall so far out that it's time to just start playing the young guys and kind of seeing what we're going to have for 2012. So I think we should just and Ben, you had a good idea here about seeing, you know, who, like mentioning who we want to play the rest of the way. So I think we should just go position by position here. I've kind of gone more of the young guy route because I would just like to see all these young guys get some playing time. But basically, these are the guys we'd like to see play if the Giants are completely out of it. So just the guys we want on the field. So let's start at catcher. And I put at catcher, I'd like to see Hector Sanchez. I don't know how good this kid is at all yet. He hasn't barely played at all. We hear good things about him. Apparently he's a fairly good defensive player, and he also is somebody who can hit a little bit. So I'd like to see what he can do. In September, you're going to see, I mean, in our September at least, we're not going to see the strongest pitching in the world. So I don't think that that this is something that's going to like take him out. It's not going to ruin his confidence. And I do agree that maybe we don't want to start him against lefties, but I would like to see him get some starts. I'd like to see him play some baseball. So that's who I'd like to see anyway. So what about you, Mike? Who do you got at catcher? Who do you want to see the rest of the way?
I put Chris Stewart up there.
I could dig that.
I've been liking the way he's been playing. He's awesome defensively. He needs a little bit more speed behind the throw whenever he's trying to catch someone at second.
which is funny because we definitely didn't say that early on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
He's actually had some good offensive games, too. He's not hitting well, but he's had some games.
They're far between, but they're there. And, I mean, you can easily point to times and say, oh, yeah, you remember Stewart had that one game where he hit the RBI double and that one game where he hit his first career home run in the majors. And then the one, you know, you can point to Stewart's big offensive explosions, even though they weren't a big major thing, and say they were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, he's got the potential to... I don't think he's ever going to be, like, a 280 hitter, but if he could hit, like, 240 or 250 in the big leagues, he'd be a guy that a lot of teams would want just because of his defensive ability. And he's got some speed for a catcher, too. So, Ben, what about you? Who'd you put at catcher?
You know, I had to go right in between you guys. I said I want to see the Sanchez number three starting, and I want to see Chris Stewart as the backup. I feel like part of the reason Stewart has kind of been exposed a little bit defensively is partly because he usually plays as a backup, or, you know, he's not really... Stewart has he's had some time to play every day, but it's been a little bit, and I feel like that he's starting to get a little bit tired as the season goes on, because a lot of the throws that he's airmailing now, he was nailing at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, he's got kind of a weird action on his throws where everything, it's like he's throwing two-seamers, you know, so everything kind of tails away. So if he's not fully accurate, you get a lot of throws that go into the outfield, but I really enjoy watching the guy play catcher, and I enjoy watching him call games too. He's kind of gone right in there, and it hasn't been like the pitching staff has really struggled with either him or Whiteside behind the dish. So, I think that's a good call to have Stewart be the backup. Do we feel like Whiteside may be on his way out as a Giants catcher, since Stewart has kind of made him his... I mean, he's kind of come up, and he's kind of proven that, you know, he'd be a solid backup when Buster Posey comes back next year.
I mean, it would sad to see him go, but as of right now, I don't really see him contributing as much as Chris Stewart has.
I would love to see Whiteside play more somewhere else. I would love to see him actually get playing time, because he's been a backup for a really long time, and I'm sure there's a team out there that, you know, might want to give him a shot. So he's kind of he's at that age now where it's either like it's now or never, you know, so...
Yeah, I'm kind of the opinion with Whiteside, too, that Stewart has shown himself to be a lot stronger defensively, and even though Whiteside is a little bit stronger offensively, it's not a huge difference.
Yeah, it's not enough. But
I do kind of feel like it's enough that, you know, once Posey's healthy again, we get back into spring training, I feel like if both of them remain with the team, which isn't a given already, but if both of them were to remain with the team, I think you could see them fighting it out and platooning a little bit over spring training, trying to see which one of them is going to get the starting spot.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Backup spot, I guess.
The starting backup spot.
Well, I mean, I guess that also depends on what they do with Posey. I think right now the assumption is that he'll go back to catcher, but there is a lot of clamoring, not necessarily from within the front office, but, you know, from people watching the team, saying that Posey should be moving to first base.
I don't think it's
going to
happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think he wants to do it. I don't think they want Buster Posey as a first baseman, because let's face it, I mean, our first baseman's supposed to produce like crazy in this league. And, you know, we've talked about it before. As a first baseman, he wouldn't be the premier player he is as a catcher. Unless he, you know, I don't know. This guy's a limit with Posey.
They say the same thing about Joe Mauer, too. Yeah, so, I mean, I can agree with that. It's one of those things where he's like, he's got outstanding numbers for a catcher, plus he's defensively doing a great job handling what is a very difficult pitching staff. Whereas as a first baseman, he'd be standing at first base and hitting decent.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's talk about first base. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Didn't Posey used to play be pitcher back in college too?
He played pretty much every position. I think actually in a game he did play every single position. Yeah.
Yeah. He was generally a shortstop a lot of the time before he converted to catcher. He also acted as their closer for one game. In that game where he played all nine innings, he ended it at closer, I believe. He's done a little bit of everything because he's got the arm speed and strength, and he's a great athlete.
Yeah, he's a natural talent.
Yeah, he's the ability to play any position. He's just taken well to catcher. I don't really think that he'd be our answer at shortstop either, although that would be hilarious. But I don't think so either. Let's rotate everybody. Let's just drop him at shortstop, and we're going to put Pablo behind the dish.
There you go.
Then...
when Pablo came up, dude, his first game as a Giant was as a catcher. And I remember when he came up for like the last September call-up. I mean, he was the catcher.
Everybody thought he'd be the catcher behind Molina. Like, he'd be the backup catcher and the starting catcher of the future. And all of a sudden, he's at third base making these killer plays at the hot corner. Yeah. And you're like, okay, we just solved that problem.
Exactly. So let's talk about first base. I put Brett Pill over there. I would love to see Brett Pill. I mean, we called him up. Let's give the guy some playing time. He's got pop. He hit, I think, 25 home runs in the minors this year. So you know, that would lead our team. I mean, not that he would hit 25 if he was in the bigs all season, but, you know, the guy's got some ability back there, and I would love to see the guy play a lot of baseball and actually get a real sense of how good he is in the big leagues. You know, he's very young, and we don't know a lot about the kid yet because we haven't actually seen him play. But from everything we've heard and from scouting reports and everything, people say this guy's the real deal. So, if he can kind of cement himself as a guy who can play first base, and I know he's played some other infield positions as well, then I think that really opens it up to have Brandon Belt really work on becoming an outfielder too. And we kind of need to know if that's something we're going to want to think about for next year, if he's really going to be an option. Cause I don't think Huff is going to be an option there much longer. Now, are we going to have Huff next year? Probably, but
is he going to play? Left on his contract?
Exactly. Yeah. So unless we trade him, he's going to be around. So, but is he going to play is the thing. And, it depends on what Brett Pill does, I think, and what Brandon Belt does. So I'd like to get a sense of what this guy can really do. You know, we still haven't really seen it.
It's true. I mean, Belt hasn't really gotten to hold on to a starting position long enough at any stage during the season to really see him much other than his initial slump. And so that's kind of what we remember, but it's not really what's fresh in our heads. We kind of feel like we haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, exactly. And Mike, you put Brandon Belt at first base, right?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I'm loving this kid's passion for the game right now. He definitely started showing up. Like, he obviously did not want to stay in Fresno. So all those killer offensive plays that he made once he started holding on to a little bit of a position he had on the team, he was able to produce pretty well.
Yeah, he's shown a lot of great flashes this year for sure. And
yeah,
and we can't argue with the beauty of his swing. I mean, the kid's got, a lot of people compare him to Will Clark, and it's a fair comparison because he really does have a smooth swing. And they talk about how awkward he is. He does not look awkward when he's swinging a baseball bat. That's for sure.
Not when he's swinging.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. So,
I'll give it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Ben, I think here you kind of did another little combo platter, huh?
I have a couple of combo platters on here because I was kind of thinking lineup for the rest of the season wise. I actually wrote Belt and Pill. Just because, you know, you call up a guy like Brett Pill. I mean, okay, let's face it. He's 27. He is repeating AAA. So this is not his first time through that level.
Yeah.
Fresno is kind of hitter friendly. So these are all arguments that have been levied against, like, oh, well, let's bring up Pill. But, I mean, the guy has that kind of season. You got to call him up.
Yeah.
Whether you play him is up to you. And if we hit this point in the season where it's like, let's start playing the young kids, let's run Brett Pill out there. I mean, he's done well at first base. And from what I've heard, he's actually got some pretty nice defense at first, kind of like Belt has been said to have. So it's, you know, it's nice to hear. But at the same time, Pill, you don't know that he's going to do everything you expect. So Belt, I'd say, has to start every day.
Okay.
And if you say Belt has to start every day, then Pill doesn't get a ton of starts at first unless you shift Belt to left. And we'll talk about that later. But I think that we need at least a couple chances to drop Pill in at first and at least take a few, you know, give him a few starts to see what he's made of. Maybe give him a spring call up next year since now he's on the 40 man.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And I just think it's time to just kind of see what's going to happen in 2012. So at second base, I think this was the only place that we all kind of agreed besides third. Jeff Kepinger. He's really kind of proven himself to be a guy who's consistent, and you know, it's going to make the decision next year on what we do. You know, when Sanchez is healthy again, who do we pursue here? You know, I got to feel like Kepinger is more of a safe bet there because he's less injury prone, and they're both similar hitters. You know, they both hit for average, don't hit for a lot of power. You know, go back up the middle a lot of times, use the entire field. So they're very, very similar players in a lot of respects. I think just Kepinger's a little bit more consistent. So I love Kepinger at second base. I'd like to see him stay there the rest of the year. And I'd like to see the guy stay here beyond that.
I would not be opposed to Kepinger sticking around. I mean, he would be actually not a bad, I mean, range-wise, defensive-wise, Sanchez has loads on him when he's healthy. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for Freddie coming back and really improving the defense at second. But Kep hasn't looked really, really bad. Not kind of like
He's an average second baseman. I mean, he's not bad. Right. He's not flashy. He doesn't make some great plays out there, but...
Right, and his range isn't maybe quite as good, but it's good enough that we haven't seen a ton of, like, you haven't seen, you know, 5 million singles trickle through one side like we really did towards the beginning of the year. But, I feel like with Kep, you know, he could shift over and play shortstop next year if we really found ourselves in that position, depending on who's around next year and who's, you know, who we deem able to, you know, stick at the top level.
Yeah. Now, if we have Belt, or I mean, sorry, if we have Kepinger and Sanchez, who do you think bats second and who do you put farther down in the lineup?
I think that depends
Sanchez
on
second.
I think it Sanchez depends second on who we've got to bat third. Is kind of my big point. Because I mean, if we work on the assumption that Beltran probably isn't sticking around, which seems pretty safe.
Yeah.
You could go, you know, I would not be opposed to going like leadoff hitter, Kepinger, Sanchez, Pablo.
You know? Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's not bad, actually. Yeah, all right.
I could see Kepinger taking the third spot behind Sanchez. And, you know, then you have basically a couple guys who can, you know, get on base. And then if you do have some thunder coming behind. But it also, yeah, it depends on if we pick up a bigger bat in the offseason.
True, too.
Yeah. So, Mike, you also put Kepinger at second, right? And then, yes. Ben, you put a little bit of Brett Pill over there. We'd like to see what he can do maybe at second base, huh?
Right. He did play some second at Fresno. So, yeah. I mean, he's had some experience playing around the Keystone sack. So,
yeah, I mean give him a shot. That.
I mean, nobody said that he had good range at second. But conversely, nobody said that about Kepinger or pretty much any second baseman we've rolled out there after Sanchez and, like, maybe Burris.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't done a lot of rangy second baseman this year, and that's, you know.
So third base is pretty much unanimous. Pablo. The panda goes there. We all know that, and we don't want to move him. We want Panda healthy is what we want. That's what we want. So
yeah, and you want some time to just keep seeing what the lineup will look like with him in it, because we know he's going to be the third baseman of the future.
Exactly. He's not going anywhere. As shortstop, I want to see Brandon Crawford the rest of the way. I really do. I know he's not going to hit well, but I think he's going to be better the more time he gets up here. I don't think he's a 190 hitter for his entire career. I think the guy is going to hit somewhere around 230, 240, be more of an Omar Vizquel type of player. Which, by the way, I don't know if you guys know this, but Omar Vizquel has 2,838 hits on his career.
Wow. Yeah.
If he finds a way to continue to play, he'll probably have to play at least another two seasons to do this. But if he can find a way to keep playing, if he can find teams to keep picking him up, he could do it, you know? That would be pretty amazing.
Wow.
That would be pretty amazing.
That'd be something.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, longevity, dude. Longevity's where it's at. And I noticed that, Ben, you also put Brandon Crawford there. But, Mike, you put somebody else there. You want to explain your choice?
Yeah, I put Fontenot.
All right.
I like the little guy.
He's scrappy. He's got some scrap to him.
And I feel like if we give him more time to play on the field, he'd probably be able to produce more. He's had shown his little sparks in the past, and he's awesome. Mm-hmm. I actually like him at shortstop defensively. So I just want to see him play a little bit more.
Yeah, and I think it's funny nobody chose Cabrera here because I mean, we pretty much all realize at this point Cabrera's just hasn't worked out either, which kind of leads to the fact that none of the trades have really worked out this year at all, have they?
Well, yeah. Kepinger, maybe.
Beltran, a little bit,
was like the earliest one, and it was to fill a gap. And
I want a couple more hot moments from Beltran before I actually feel like it was worth it. Well, I mean, Beltran, we got to get us in the playoffs when you look at
Beltran
it.
Beltran only works if we make the playoffs.
Kind of fell apart around him.
Yeah, Beltran only works if we had made the playoffs.
Yeah.
So let's go into the outfield. I want to see Brandon Belt, Cody Ross, and Carlos Beltran the rest of the way. The only one that's a young guy that I want to see play is Brandon Belt. The only reason that he's the only guy that I stuck out there is because we didn't bring Brown up or anything like that. So it's like, who do we put out there who is young? Belt's the only guy. So. I want to see Cody Ross finish out the year in center field just because I like watching the guy play. I still have a lot of love for that guy. But I would like to see Pat Burrell play a lot, too.
I don't know how much
longer he's going to be around, and I really like Pat Burrell. And if this is his final year, I don't want to see him go out just sitting on the bench.
You gotta give him a chance to get his curtain call, I feel like.
Exactly. Know? And Beltran, if Nate was still around, I would just rather see Nate in right field. But you know what? He's not. He's got the broken foot, so it's going to be Carlos Beltran finishing out in right field, and then heading off to greener pastures where the walls are closer and the wind blows out. So we'll see you then, Carlos. What about you, Mike? Who do you got in your outfield?
Outfield, I got Cody Ross at left, Andres Torres center, and Carlos Beltran right.
Oh, so you're going more traditional Giants. This is kind of what they were thinking at the beginning of the season with Andres in center and Cody in left.
Yeah, I feel like Torres felt like he didn't do as much as he wanted to do this year. So, you know, finishing off the season with him in center would be pretty cool to watch.
It would be really cool if he could kind of get hot one more time at the end of the year and come back maybe next year with a little bit more confidence. Cause
yeah, exactly.
This year hasn't treated Andres Torres well. He's struggled a lot with a lot of different things. He's gotten some weird injuries. He's also had some issues with his concentration, and he's needed to take days off here and there when he wasn't even hurt. So it's been a very up and down, strange year for Torres. What about you, Ben? Who do you put in the outfield?
You know, I'm pretty similar with Mike on this one. I say Cody Ross in left, being spelled by Brandon Belt. Anytime that you put Pill in at first, you want Brandon Belt in left, is how I kind of look at it.
Okay, so Belt out there every day, basically.
I want Belt out there every day. I really want him to get that chance to say, okay, you're entrenched in a lineup. You may not have a set spot, but you know you're going to be out there every day. Get some of the pressure off. Don't make him feel like he has to go 4-for-4 or he's going to ride the bench. This is in magical, not Bochy's headland, but you'll take it. But
it's not a real place, what we're talking about, basically.
Right. But you know, on the days that Belt isn't there and he's at first, I wouldn't mind seeing Cody in left. Originally I had this written up a little differently, and then you had to go and remind me that Nate was broken. Thanks. But, it's exactly the first thing I wanted to think about. But yeah, I mean, Ross in left, I'm okay with that. I mean, Andres Torres, I still feel like he needs some time, especially without the pressure of the playoff race, to say, okay, you know what? You're our starting center fielder again. Just get out there and do what you do and make ridiculous plays in center field that don't look ridiculous because you can get to them faster than anybody. Mm-hmm. And, take that time. I mean, we aren't in a position yet where we can call up Gary Brown. That's probably at least a year away. And so having a center fielder who's speedy with a killer ton of defense behind our pitchers, especially guys like Kane who do a lot of fly ball pop-ups, you want somebody like Torres out there. And I do think that Ross showed himself pretty well in center field, I'm not going to lie. But I feel like we're better suited with Ross in left and Torres in center.
All right. And then right field, you're putting Beltran, huh?
All right field, I'm putting Beltran. As long as he's here, we may as well squeeze what we can out of him. Okay. And I still want to at least see him get hot. And right now with Nate injured, you know, Beltran is the most experienced right fielder that we've got.
If he could actually hit the way he's supposed to hit, he'd be fun to watch the rest of the year. So
it's true.
I dig that.
I will say I do want to see Burrell, but it's hard to fit him in with the same concept of let's play or the younger guys. Mm-hmm. But I totally agree with you wanting to see Burrell go out a Giant. If he goes out, I mean, we don't even know that he's necessarily done here. Somebody still may want to take a chance on a guy like Pat Burrell, but I don't know if it's going to be us, and I don't know if it's going to happen next year.
Yeah, I don't think so either. All right, so I think you put a couple extras in here. You want to see Darren Ford and Connor Gillespie get some bench time, huh?
Get some bench time. I want to see Gillespie get a start or two at third, especially to let Pablo rest that shoulder, especially against a left-handed pitcher.
Yeah, once we're out of it, we need to get Pablo healthy, for real. For real.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean we know he's going to be around, so we don't need to push the guy. You know what I mean?
That's got to be a major concern. But Gillespie, on the other hand, he's had a couple of decently hot games, but he hasn't shown a ton, especially compared to, you know, where he was drafted and what we gave him. And, you know, I'm not inclined to say that Gillespie is quite up to let's put him in the starting for now. But I do think that he's earned, like, let's see him a little bit.
Yeah, give
and
him a shot.
Ford, yeah, you just like seeing Ford come off the bench and do his Darren the Bullet Ford.
I just want to see him pinch run. I just want to see him pinch run every single time someone gets on first base. I don't care who it is. I think we should bring in that Little League rule where they could do courtesy runners, you know, and they just come out and they just run for everybody.
I was going to say what you do is you put him back in the dugout and then you put Burris's jersey on him. You say you're bringing on Emmanuel
and then here he comes again.
Nice.
Yeah.
You put him back in the dugout.
Oh, that's so racist, Ben. You're such a racist.
Oh, my God.
After that, there go 10 of our listeners.
God damn.
No, we only have 9 listeners, too, man. You're screwing us here.
Hey, I'm just saying, after that, we'll put Pat Burrell's jersey on him. I mean,
there you go. All right, cool. Yeah, no, I get it.
That's crazy.
I do agree with you. I think Surkamp should be the fifth pitcher the rest of the way. And
it sounds like he will be, to be honest. They're calling him up again for tomorrow's game from what I had last heard. I assume that's still true.
Yeah, and then he might as well stay up here at that point. I mean, there's no more minor league baseball to be played. So
agreed.
Time for him to come on up and stay here. All right, so I pulled a couple of stats here before we go to our break, and I think these are some interesting ones that kind of spell out how things have been for this team. Now, one of them, though, I thought was kind of funny, and this kind of just shows why we are looking up the leaderboard right now. The Giants are 26-21, which is the third best in baseball, against teams with winning records, which is kind of funny. Actually, third best in the National League, excuse me, against teams with winning records. They're 5-53 team against winning teams. So sounds pretty good, right? Like they're beating the good teams. That's what you want to be doing. The problem is they're 47-45 against losing teams, which is two games over 500 against losing teams. So they've been playing down to people this year. They haven't been beating the teams they're supposed to be beating. Now, on the other hand, if you look at...
Sounds like us.
Yeah, exactly.
You could say the same thing about pitchers, too. You roll out that that Astros rotation with guys who all had ERAs over five, and all of a sudden they were looking like shiny little three and a halfs by the time they finished.
Not only that, they got like 75 pitches in the eighth inning and stuff. It's crazy.
No, to be honest, I actually remember I was at one of the Cubs games, and I remember looking up and going, man, this guy's ERA is like 5.5. And then at the end of the game, I looked again, and it was like 5.1. And I went,
we knocked a half a run.
half a run off of his ERA. For the entire season.
But now here's where it gets interesting. Arizona is a losing team against teams over 500, 20-28 against teams over 500. Here's what they have been doing this year. They've been beating up on the bad teams, 59-32 against teams with losing records. So that's a 648 clip right
there.
I mean, that's like they're beating the teams that they're supposed to beat. And, you know, this kind of goes to show when they get to the playoffs, these aren't the guys who are going to go to the World Series, I don't believe. The Giants, on the other hand, showed last year what can happen when a team that's built like the Giants does get to the playoffs. The problem is you got to get there. And with a team like ours, especially when you get injuries the way we have, it's not easy to get there. Arizona, the Yankees, these are teams that are built for regular season success. You know, I mean, just we'll just plow through you and we'll out hit you. But then once you get to the playoffs, man, it really is all about pitching. So, you know, I just don't see them going deep. And it's just this goes to show why they're ahead of us right now. We haven't been able to beat the teams we're supposed to beat. But, you know, we have been tough against the good teams. Here's another stat that shows where we're at. Giants have scored, at this point in the season, 132 less runs than last year. And last year, we all talked about how bad our offense was. Well, last year, we had 600 runs at this point in the season. This year, we have 468.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge downturn. 132 less runs is just massive. And you're already talking about being a bad team. So when you get worse by that margin, I mean, that's a crazy amount of runs less. It's not easy to win ball games, you know, and they've proven it right now. Here's another interesting one. This kind of maybe shows why we've scored so few runs. San Francisco swings at 33.5% of the pitches that are outside of the strike zone, and that leads the major leagues. So we are flailing, and we are flailing as a team. I think this speaks very much to the not like the actual players we have on our team, but the mental state of our entire team as a hitter. They're not going up there thinking, let's make a tough at bat. They're going up there and they're just swinging away.
Let's swing at everything today, guys.
Yeah. And it's fine to be aggressive, but when you're swinging at pitches that are outside of the zone, that's not aggressive with a purpose. You know what I mean? That's just aggressive. That's just pure aggression.
That's aggressive per se, because you're not really going to hit it half the time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and even if you do hit
it,
you're not going to hit it well.
The pitcher go, if I let go of this bat, it's going to hit you. It's going to hit you.
The problem, too, is you're hitting the pitcher's pitches. I mean, when the pitcher doesn't throw a strike, they're generally throwing a, you know, I mean, most pitchers in baseball, and you know, I looked at some stats on first pitch strikes and stuff like that. Even the worst pitcher in baseball still gets a first pitch strike about 52% of the time. So in a major league level, most pitchers are fairly accurate, even the ones that aren't accurate. So when they're throwing outside of the zone, most of the time they're doing it on purpose, and we're swinging at the pitch that they meant for us to swing at, you know? It's not a good trend. Also, when we do put the ball in play, our batting average on balls in play, which is the BABIP, which is kind of a funky stat and one that you have to take with a grain of salt, we have the lowest in the majors. So when we do hit the ball, we're not getting a hit very often with those hits.
Well, one of the things they say about BABIP, though, is that it's got a lot to it almost reflects like luck. BABIP for most teams should look something like 300 is the theory. And so when it's
300
slow,
is where it's supposed to end up regardless of what happens. And it's true.
Right.
You don't see a lot of give on either side, but the Giants are at 280. which ties them for the lowest with the Chicago White Sox, which I think is actually 0.281.
But it's worth pointing out that, you know, since I'm a Tigers booster and all, I can't help mentioning that the Tigers won 18-2 against the White Sox today.
Mm. Yeah, White Sox, so, not a good offensive team either.
That's
so
called making a statement when you're in a division race.
Yeah, exactly. So the point really there is that, at least for this season, we have been getting unlucky. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed how many times Huff has hit the ball hard right at people this year. And, you know, we talk about how much he's struggled. He's had a lot of at-bats where he's crushed the ball, and he's had to walk back to the dugout instead of standing on second base. So it's just kind of you put all these factors together, and you get an offense that is clearly the worst in baseball, by a large margin, too. I mean, not even by a little bit. So, all right, you know what? Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a few more things. We're going to give you guys our some letters from listeners, ideas from Lunatic Fringe, favorite guys we should hate, all kinds of stuff. Right after this break, you're listening to the Torture Cast right now.
I'm not too much of a singer. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
Welcome back to the Torture Cast. I am going to talk like this the entire rest of the show. My name is Willie Dills, of course, joined by Mike G and Ben Lee. And
we are so epic.
That's right.
Was that Robo Will for a second?
That was Robo Will. I figured we needed some form of robotics in this show. By the way, have you guys ever heard of chatbots? Do you guys know about chatbots?
No. Yeah, no? I mean, like the ones that you've run into on AIM, and you can like message them things and they say stuff back.
They're supposed to talk like real people.
No, I haven't heard about these.
It's like this thing. So go to, if you get a chance, go to existor.com. That's existor.com. And check this out, because it is the creepiest thing you've ever seen. There's like a, there's like an actual like avatar that looks like way too realistic, and you can type stuff in and it talks back to you. Yeah, it's pretty epic. So we're going to be doing that on the Hard Edition coming up on Tuesday.
Nice.
Yeah. By the way, if you, I should probably plug some of the stuff I do on all my shows. I should probably get some cross promotion going on.
Doing stuff.
Yeah. I'll do that at the end of the show. All right. So let's talk about the Diamondback series real quick. You know, I think we all kind of knew that we had to either win this series or sweep it to, you know, kind of stay in there. We did not do that. We won the first game. Everyone was feeling pretty good. Then we went down. So we ended up going down to the series 1-2. We scored 9 runs total in the series after scoring 6 in the first game. Just not good enough, you know, definitely not good enough to win a series. And it's just one of those things. It's like you've been looking at this series for the last like couple weeks now going, well, you know, it's not looking good, but if we can beat those guys, then we can do this, you know? And when the time came to do it, we did not do it. And especially losing the Timmy game, where, you know, last year, Timmy was untouchable in big games. This year, he had a lot of great games like that, but he's lost a lot of close games against the ace of the other team this year. And
he gets really mopey after he loses, too.
Oh, dude, absolutely. I would, too. I mean, I hate losing. I don't know about you guys.
Like, he takes it really hard.
Yeah. No, he's a very competitive guy.
Post-game interviews.
They always talk about how competitive he is. Like, no matter what they do, no matter what the guys are doing, like in the dugout, if they're like having some little weird competition, he wants to win all the time. And yeah, it affects him very hard. And that's what I want out of my players, honestly. I want them to hate losing. You know what I mean? So
it's true. Well, I mean, my only counter to that is, you know, if you want them to hate losing and then you set them up in a position where they're going to lose all the time, you're not really doing yourself a lot of favors.
True.
Especially if you're trying to keep them for the long term.
Very true. So, Mike, you today went to the final game of this D-back series, and today was Star Wars Day.
Yes,
so,
it was.
After losing the game before on Saturday, what was the atmosphere like at the ballpark today? I mean, were people fully into it?
Yeah, dude, people loved Star Wars Day. So it started at around 10:30 a.m. when they started handing out the promotional giveaway, which was
a little pyramid stand that had one side Han Solo frozen carbonite. The other side was Brian Wilson in frozen carbonite.
Oh, nice.
during his signature pose at the end of when he closes out a game. And then the other side just said Star Wars Giants.
You know what's so funny? That was like the thing. Didn't they say that there was like a surprise thing, and that's what it was?
That's what it was.
Dude, I remember having this conversation in the break room. I was like, oh, you know what would be sweet is if they had like Buster Posey frozen in carbonite or whatever.
Yep, I remember you mentioned that.
Yeah, and that's what it was? That's awesome. Yep. Yeah. Oh, dude, I so want one of those.
I'll post a picture up on Twitter for everyone to check out. Again, that's at TortureCast.
Yeah, check that out. I want to see this, dude. That is rad.
I'm really curious. Yeah, I didn't get to see it either.
That is super rad. So did you dress up at all? Were you getting into the spirit?
I didn't. I didn't dress up, and I even forgot to wear a Star Wars t-shirt that I have. I didn't even think about it, but
you just went straight up Giants gear, right?
Let's face it. Yeah, absolutely. Giants gear and your Jedi tail. You're fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, I have my authentic Jedi tail, so. Yeah,
you guys out there can't see it, but Mike does actually have a Jedi tail, and it's pretty legit.
Yeah, it is pretty legit.
And I'll take a picture of that, too, and put it on
Twitter. Post that on there, too, for sure, so people can know. I mean, you've been a Jedi since way back, so, I mean, you know, you had all those clowns beat anyway. Exactly. So what else was going on at Star Wars Day? I mean, was there like I know there's a lot of people dressed up. I saw you posted a picture of some stormtroopers.
Yeah, I got stormtroopers out there, Boba Fett's, people painting their helmets into black and orange, which was pretty awesome to see.
Nice.
A bunch of little kids dressed up as characters from Clone Wars. Not too many Princess Leias. I mean, a pretty decent amount of them, but none of the sexy Leias.
Well, that's just inappropriate anyway, so.
It's also cold, yeah. I'm just saying.
It's not Comic-Con.
I was looking for it, not gonna lie. Anyway.
You're like, damn it, not enough Leias out here.
Oh, man. But it was fun. They actually had this white Volkswagen Jetta TDI that they had there that was all white. And there was an artist at Comic-Con that took 4 days to draw all over the car, awesome. And it was all Star Wars themed.
And did somebody win this? Somebody won this thing?
No, they just brought it to show it off.
Oh, weak.
Yeah.
I want someone to get it.
It was done by pencil first, all sketches, and then done with a permanent marker at the end.
Oh, dude, that's rad.
That's yeah. Cool.
So, I mean, I know it ended up being kind of a letdown of a day, but I got to admit, Star Wars promotion's pretty badass, so.
I gotta ask one question. Did anybody take a painted helmet and give it to Ross and tell him to put it on and then start making Cody Fett jokes? Because somebody should have. I'm just saying.
That would have been awesome. Unfortunately, I didn't see that if it happened. But at the end of the game, even though we did lose and I was extremely, extremely bummed out, they ended the day by playing Empire Strikes Back on the Jumbotron.
Oh, nice. Right, wait, did they just put the whole movie on or what?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, damn.
It's only people who had the event tickets.
Oh, they could stick around and watch that?
Decent
okay.
amount of people there.
So did you stay and watch the whole movie?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, fuck.
From the seats or did they like bring you guys onto the field?
There were some people who could pay extra to sit on the field. And it was cool because there was like dads and friends playing catch with each other on the field.
Oh, that's
that was
awesome.
One of the things I wish I would have done when I went to FanFest earlier this year, being able to play catch on the baseball field. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
It's worth pointing out, I don't know whether or not the people will be up and around moving for it as much, but they are doing opera at the ballpark again this year. And that
I've done that before.
They'll sit you on the field and do a live showing of, I don't remember which opera it is this year, on the Jumbotron. I haven't gotten to do it this year, but I'm thinking about it. One of my friends who sings opera from out of town might.
I did it the very first time they did it, and it was a blast. So anyone out there listening, opera at the park is awesome.
I'm waiting for them to have the golf day where everybody gets to go and tee up from home plate and just smash.
They should do that.
Hit like pitching wedges over into McCovey Cove. That'd be so
That's
rad.
Ironic.
That would be so rad.
You don't stand on home plate with a pitching wedge.
But I mean, a pitching wedge, you can hit like 125, 130 yards. You could hit that right out of there.
From the mound.
Yeah, but you know. All right, fine. A gap wedge. And then you hit it down into Triple's Alley. All right, so
I'll take it.
I don't think we need to talk about this crazy baseball story because that happened a while ago. Yeah, but let's go ahead and get to these letters from the listeners. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to give a shout out to a couple of people who gave us 5-star reviews over the last week here. So Surf Dude 808, which I imagine is a dude who surfs while listening to Outkast on an iPod. He wrote Go Giants. I know you love that 808. One of the most entertaining podcasts dedicated to the Giants, a must for all Giants fans. Thank you, Surf Dude 808. I appreciate that. And then we have another one from LisaBug 919, which is, I guess, one better than 808 in every single category. She says, I give TortureCast guys a hard time on Twitter about the length of their podcast. I really love their podcast. They do great analysis. They're funny and just generally awesome. That said, if they read this review on the show, I'm going to have to beat them up. Oh, I probably should have read that before I read it out on the air.
I remembered that. And when you started reading it, I went, I wonder if he's doing this on purpose. But
I challenge you.
I'm just saying, you guys are marked men now. You better watch
right.
out.
All right. I guess I'm going to have to get my beaten. That's all right. I'll take it like a man.
Just put on Posey's helmet. You'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Posey, you can't be hurt when you wear. I'll just wear my Posey jersey. It makes me invincible. Anybody wearing a Posey jersey cannot be hurt.
Dude, here's the funny thing. She'll be looking. The funny thing is, she's going to be looking for Willie Dills when really she doesn't know. She'll be looking for Johnny Velvet.
That's right. It was Johnny Velvet who said that, Lisa. Lisa 909, Lisa Bug. So.
Pretty sure it's Lisa for the record.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Lisa Bug.
There's two S's.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Lissabug 909. All right. So thank you to those people. And if you would like to leave us a review, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes because it's nice. It's a nice thing to do. All right. So ideas.
Put out there, if you don't like us and you think that our podcast is running too long, leave us a lower star review and we'll try and get better.
No, don't do that. If you don't like the show, just stop listening to it. Don't leave a low star review. That's just a jerk move.
I think you're trying to sway the vote here. I think you're trying to sway the vote.
No. I'm just saying. Here's the thing, Ben. If you don't like, say, some pizza from a pizza place, right? If you go to a pizza place and the pizza's not that good, do you immediately go onto Yelp and then leave a bad review, or do you just not go back?
Well, see, are you asking me about me, or are you asking me about other people I've seen go directly to Yelp?
I'm asking you about you.
All right. No, I won't go back.
You just won't go back, right?
You're right.
Yeah, see? So that's what I'm saying. Don't go on Yelp and leave us a bad review. Just stop listening. All right, so...
located in downtown.
Yeah, exactly. So ideas from the Lunatic Fringe. Ben, you were the only one who put this here, and I really want to hear you defend this idea because I love it.
Okay. So let's look at what we're... One of the things that we're really missing on this team... Well, actually, we're missing a lot of things on this team, but one of the things we're missing is a guy who can sit in leadoff, take a bunch of pitches, work his way on base, get a couple of hits in there, maybe even hit a couple of home runs. So for the moment, until we can find a better option, and I don't know that Torres is quite doing it for me at the moment, let's put Brandon Belt at the top of the order.
Here, here.
Ooh.
I applaud this man.
This is a guy who can, he will stare at pitches, and he will spit on them when they come by and they are half an inch outside of the strike zone.
Mm-hmm.
He will look at the pitcher who is getting ready to throw something deceptive and go, no, I can already see that coming. You don't even need to bother throwing it, but you will anyway. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, umpires say, oh, did you just take that pitch? Yeah, I guess it was outside. That's cool. I think you're right. I'll go with you on this one. I mean, so a guy who can take pitches and work the plate appearance is really valuable. I do think that when I wrote this, this was before he started spitting on a couple of called strikes. So I still feel pretty strongly about it just because, you know, the two guys on the team who actually will take pitches are pretty much Brandon Belt and Pat Burrell right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, I want to see somebody lead off who I feel like is going to get on base. I'm not saying is going to get a hit. I'm not saying is going to get, you know, put one in the seats. I don't necessarily need Ricky Henderson, but I need somebody who's gonna take a few pitches, let the other guys see what this guy's stuff is made of on the mound, and get on base.
I think this brings up an interesting point of why do we have to follow the conventional baseball wisdom that the leadoff guy has to be fast?
Well, for one thing, because Bruce Bochy's in the dugout, but okay, I get you on that.
But you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a lot of teams out there that just go, oh, the fast guy, he goes first, you know?
You need the fast guy that gets on base, which was Torres last year, in fairness. Yeah. Like, he was great at that, getting on base and then being fast. But you can have all the vroom that you want. It's if the guy can't get on base, it's not going to do jack for you.
Exactly. When you got, in my opinion, the leadoff hitter just needs to be the guy who gives you the best chance. If you put this guy first in an inning, he gives you the best chance to score a run in that inning. That's should be the only criteria that matters.
That said, you can kind of see why we wouldn't want to put Pat Burrell on there, though. He's not the fastest guy, which potentially can hurt.
Well, exactly. You don't want someone who's going to clog the base paths up. You're not going to put Benji Molina batting leadoff because he has a good on-base average or whatever.
Sometimes you want that, right.
But, I mean, I think that a guy like Belt or somebody who takes pitches and gets on base, like let's say that the guys and I agree with like putting the third guy as being like your best overall hitter because you want to make sure he gets up in the first inning and potentially with runners on. I agree with the fourth guy being the guy with the most power because if you do get a guy on, he definitely comes up in the first inning and he's the guy who gives you the best chance to hit one out. I don't agree with just putting speed up at the top. I mean, I love speed, but let's be honest here. It's really the guys who are going to get on base the most that should go in that position. And I think, honestly, if Belts gives you the best chance at that, sure, why not? I'm actually excited to see the Moneyball movie because this was kind of like a whole team built around this whole thing of on base percentage, and it was really revolutionary.
I bet you are.
It was a really revolutionary idea back then. I want to see Thin Jonah Hill. That's what I'm excited about. Thin Jonah Hill.
This concept, I can't process it.
All right, let's talk about our new favorite guys. I picked Cody Ross. Cody Ross looked like his swing is back. He's also been making some solid defensive plays. That sliding catch on Friday was ridiculous. He hit his freaking face into the ground and then still somehow found a way to catch the ball while sliding. It was awesome. And he's been showing more patience this year and, or at least than earlier this year. And, he's as a leadoff hitter, he's been kind of looking like somebody who could kind of do it the last few games. So, it's clear that when you have Cody Ross batting leadoff that you're out of options. But, he's been one of the best options so far. So Cody Ross is my new favorite guy. Mike, what do you got?
I got Carlos Beltran.
All right. I dig that. He had a sweet... That home run was a friggin' bomb the other day.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It took him a little bit to finally find his groove in the team, but I feel like now the chemistry is starting to show there, and he's doing awesome offensively, which is what we need. That's what we've been dying to have. Probably not as much as he really should be, but when he does, like that triple today was absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
The homer you just mentioned, like seeing those little bursts is something really good to have on the team right now. It's exactly what we've been missing.
That bat, man. We were hoping that we were going to get this Beltran the entire time he was here. And, I guess it's good he finally showed up.
If Beltran gets hot, too, I mean, Beltran is a guy that immediately begins putting fear in opposing pitchers when he's on. And once he gets back on, everybody else in the lineup gets protected a little better, starts seeing some better pitches because nobody wants to face Beltran with guys on base, start pitching a little more carefully. I mean, there's a lot to be said for when he's hot, for when Panda's hot, and for when Ross is hot. When a guy gets hot, the rest of the lineup is automatically more threatening.
Absolutely. Yeah, he does. He changes the lineup for sure. Ben, what about you? Who's your new favorite guy?
I'm going to go with Eric Cercamp, actually, just because, you always like seeing a rookie pitcher get his first couple of starts in the majors. I would have said the same thing about Bum last year. But with Cercamp, he's got some really nasty breaking stuff, which kind of lets him use his fastball to a little more effectiveness. So I kind of like seeing that. I don't really think he's going to, especially not anytime soon, but he doesn't strike me as an ace, but he strikes me as a guy that could be really serviceable for some time to come. So I'm pretty happy to see him get some time in the majors, and I really hope he gets to do well.
I agree with that for sure. I would love to see this kid play. Yeah.
Could be our fifth starter of the future.
Looks like the top four is pretty well locked up. So, I'd love to see somebody who can actually bring it in that fifth spot, which we haven't had, in pretty much 2 years, if you think about it. So,
just about.
Yeah. So,
Todd Willemeyer? No.
Yeah. let's talk about who we should hate. I'm going to go ahead and go with Justin Upton. Justin Upton, first of all, you need to stop with the whole crushing pitches bullcrap. It's old. It's tired. We get it. You're all good at baseball and stuff. Enough already. Second, Mr. Upton, when you do strike out, just deal with it like a giant does. And just walk away with your head down and be happy it wasn't a double play. This whole yelling at the umpire thing is just stupid. I don't know if you were at the game today, right, Mike? So I guess that was at least some excitement for the fans to cheer that he got kicked out of the game. But
I was actually waiting for the manager to get kicked out, too.
I mean, at that point, they were down 1-0. But it was only, what, like the fourth inning or something like that?
Yeah,
it's like not time to lose your cool over one pitch that it was low. Granted, that was a low pitch and it wasn't a strike. But it wasn't low enough that it was just ridiculous. And he probably should have been protecting. So, you know,
I just imagine him striking out and just turning to the umpire going, meh.
It's kind of looked like what he did. He was walking away and then he got tossed. That's what's awesome. I love when that happens. All right. So, Ben, you got a guy here. Who do you think? Who should we hate?
I'm going with Ian Kennedy. I mean, the guy really doesn't profile as the ace that he is right now. He just, historically, he's just never had that like ace stuff. But unfortunately, it's you're playing in the NL West now, and all of a sudden that's going to make almost anybody look like an ace, let's face it. So Ian Kennedy, you know, props for having some good stuff, but no props for suddenly being in the Cy Young conversation because you're facing a bunch of guys in the NL West who make you look like Cy Young.
Yeah, it's funny because like we just do this with every team. So the Diamondbacks shouldn't feel special when they leave, you know, that they held us to such low amounts of runs over three games, because this is what we do to everybody. And it's so tiresome as a Giants fan to go out there knowing if we give up a run or two, like we're probably going to lose this game, you know? And you know, it was funny. I actually pulled some other stats earlier, which were our records and the Diamondbacks records when the team scores three or more runs and three or two and less runs or whatever. And I mean, the Diamondbacks win a lot more games when they score three or more, but they also, if you look like when they score four, like they are a 500 ball club. The Giants, when they score four, are ridiculously good. It's like out of control how good their record was when they score four. And it's just, it's like we're just a completely different team and we actually get some offense, and we just don't ever, ever. All right. That's enough of my ranting right there. Let's quickly just give a shout out to some minor leaguers who we're hoping to see up here in the bigs sometime soon. We won't spend a lot of time on this, but Gary Brown, who's somebody that a lot of people have been clamoring to see, but I don't think you're going to see him this year, even though maybe we would like to. He
can't be that desperate.
Yeah. He got Offensive Player of the Year, and he did that in what, Double A? Is that where he's been playing?
No, he did it in High A.
High A, okay.
He's a guy that maybe should have been playing in Double A, but sort of the way our system is set up, they had him in San Jose playing down there. So
yeah. So congratulations to Gary Brown, and another congratulations to Joe Panic, who was our first-round draft pick this year, who won the Northwest League MVP. Now, they play a short season, so if you're thinking, oh, we just drafted that guy, well, it's true. We did just draft that guy, but they only play, I think it was 66 games he played in, but he did hit .335, six home runs, 52 RBIs. He had 13 stolen bases and batted .346 with runners in scoring position.
Boom! Hello?
Yeah, all fantastic numbers. So I think this really is this is a great sign that maybe in the future we're going to have some homegrown talent. So
shot. I mean, I will point out for people who only listen to ours, which is kind of rare, the Giants pod guys actually did do an interview with Joe Panic.
Yeah, so you should definitely check that out, because that I actually listened to that. That was a really, really cool interview. And, you know, it's funny because I've thought about how maybe we should try to get some interviews, but the Giants pod guys are getting all the people that I'd want to interview anyway. So I'm like, hey, just let them go, man. They'll be the interview podcast.
They're doing a great job of it.
Yeah,
too,
absolutely.
So I mean,
definitely
hear some up and coming Giants players. Definitely check out.
Go out and listen to the Mark Kroon episode too, because that was really cool also to hear Mike Kroon talk. And you know what? I really respected what Mark Kroon had to say about Barry Zito. You could tell that he was, you know, really felt bad for the guy. And he just wanted everybody to know how much of a competitor this guy is, and that he's trying his best to try to, you know, win ball games, and it's just not working out for him. And it's not doing him any good to be talking bad about Barry Zito. So I thought that was really cool for him to stick up for a guy like that. You know, it's just kind of goes to show these guys all really care about each other and stuff. So definitely go check out the Giants pod guys for that one too. All right, so let's quickly go over. I just want to see if you guys can get this trivia thing here.
Okay, I did pull up one. Depends on if you guys want to do it. I know my trivia questions tend to take forever.
Nah, let's go for it. Here, I'll give you mine first, all right?
All right.
All right, here's my trivia question. Does Mark DeRosa have more or less than 1,000 hits in his career?
Ooh.
Mark DeRosa, is he over 1,000 hits or is he under 1,000 hits?
I got to go over just because he had a few good years with the Cubs, especially after the first couple of times that he got sent back down. He got up and stuck, except that the last 2 years with the Giants, he's barely played at all. But, you know, I'm going to very tentatively go over.
All right. He has played a lot of years. So, Mike, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say he's a veteran, so I would assume he's over.
Okay. 1,000's not that much, really. So, here is the answer. Mark DeRosa, over his career as a Major League Baseball player, playing baseball with a bat in his hand.
As opposed to his time playing hockey.
He's actually only got 900 hits. He's 100 away. Yeah, yeah, wow. Kind of surprising. You'd think he'd have more hits than that because he has had some pretty decent years. So I thought that was funny because I was actually looking up Omar Vizquel and stuff like that. Here's some other Giants of the future and present and past. Giants of the future?
We already spent enough time talking about them.
So, Ivan Rodriguez, a Giant of the future. Miguel Tejada has 2,362. Beltran has 1,890, so he's not far off from 2,000. AJ Pierzynski, 1,490. Pat Burrell, 1,392. And what was the last one I was going to look at here? Can't see him. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. And that douchebag Shane Victorino has 891, less than Mark DeRosa. So there you go. All right. So what's yours, Ben?
All right. So I went the old 1990 to 2011 range.
Okay.
Because that's, you know, as we've said before, that's kind of our main thing. So go ahead and give me from, and this one's really straightforward. Go ahead and give me from 1990 to 2011. For guys who've had at least 200 plate attempts, which means that Santiago Casilla is out, we're talking highest on-base percentage. So Santiago Casilla's 1.000 does not count, but it is amazing.
Okay.
So we're talking mostly guys who've been hitters. I did actually take pitchers entirely out of the equation, so I guess that doesn't count either. But we're talking 200 plate attempts and the 10 highest guys for on-base percentage, and also the one highest guy on the current active roster for on-base percentage.
The one highest guy on the current active roster, I think, has to be Pablo Sandoval, just because he's had a much higher average than everybody else.
Let me rephrase this. This is as a Giant, so I'm discounting any time with other teams.
Oh.
And Sandoval is not, actually.
Oh, okay. Then let's see. The current Giant with the highest, I'm going to guess, is Pat Burrell.
You are correct. Pat Burrell is number 16 on the list.
All right.
So now there's 10 guys at the top of the list who are not on the active roster.
All right. Mike, do you want to take one before I go? Because I'm just gonna give you number one
now. Willie just goes through and crushes these. Number one is not too hard, but let's, Mike, go for it.
I'm trying to think of who's only been a Giant. So we're talking about only been a Giant, no other team.
No. We're talking about has been
since
on other
1990.
Teams, we're talking about
their
on-base percentage as a Giant.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I'll give you number one right now. It's Barry Bonds.
Go for it.
Done.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds. On-base percentage of 477 with 575 intentional walks as a Giant.
Yeah. His on-base percentage was absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Well, who's number two?
I'm going to guess that number two is going to be, I'm going to guess that it's Jeff Kent, because when he was here, he was on base quite a bit.
I hate to say it, but by only one point, Jeff Kent is actually number 11.
Oh, damn. Not even in the top 10. Ouch.
Yeah, but just barely. He's got a 368, and there are two guys with 369 who are number 9 and 10.
Okay. Let me see if I can throw a couple more out here.
Rich
Aurelia is not a bad call. He would take a lot of walks.
Not a bad call, but he is not actually on the list.
Wow.
Oh.
I started at an on-base percentage of 350 and up and just pulled that one up. So
okay.
He did not make the list.
Let's see. Oh, my God. I'm totally drawing blanks now.
I'm pretty far back. is all like mid to early decade, if not late 90s.
Most of them are.
It's been a while since we had a lot of guys with a real high on base percentage.
It's true. It's true. That's the thing. I'm trying to think of guys who take walks or whatever, and I'm like, that's just not that many of them.
That's just not what we do anymore.
No, definitely. Oh, boy. Let's see here. I'm going to go with.
Is Buster Posey on that list?
Buster Posey's not a bad call.
Buster Posey is on the list. He is number 18.
Oh,
Right after Pat Burrell and Fred Lewis, interestingly enough.
Fred Lewis. By the way, did you hear? He got optioned, by the way. Fred Lewis, or designated for assignment. So,
that's a shame.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Travis Ishikawa, I think, would take quite a few walks.
He is not on the list.
Oh, damn. I am just striking out right now.
Didn't hit enough. Remember, on-base percentage is hits and walks, so it's guys who just get on base. Okay. So,
how about Randy Wynn?
Nope.
Oh, my God.
You're going to have to reach back farther for this.
JT Snow.
JT Snow is number 9 with 369.
Oh, yes, I got one.
Nice.
I got one. Well, you said 1990, right? Is that what you said?
It started from 1990, that's okay. Great.
Bill Miller. Bill Miller's got to be on
there.
Bill
is number 10, tied with JT Snow at 369 as a Giant.
Whew. Okay. Okay, let's think about this here. You know who used to take a lot of walks too? I hate to say it, but no, he didn't take that many walks, did he? All right. How about Ellis Burks?
Ellis Burks is number 3 with an on-base percentage of 4.
Hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Uh-huh. In your face, Jesus. List.
Nicely done. All right. If there's one guy who's got a great on-base percentage who only played with us for a year, who used to be one of our broadcasters until leaving for greener pastures.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Is it FP Santangelo?
It is. He is number 2 with 406.
Damn, that's the only thing that guy could do well.
Played with us in 1999, and now he's in Washington.
We used to call him the Frisco Playa.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. I got two more, okay? Because I'm thinking since 1990, there was a few years where these guys were still there. So Will Clark.
Number 13.
Okay. And Robbie 66. Thompson.
Not actually on the list, surprisingly enough.
Okay. I don't think.
That's surprising for Robbie
Brett
Thompson.
Brett Butler wasn't around past 89, was he?
Yes, he was. He was around in 1990, and in 1990, he hit 397.
Damn. Okay.
Or he on-base percentaged.
He on-base percentaged? All right. What about Willie McGee? He was with us later, too, wasn't he?
McGee is not actually on the list.
I guess he wasn't as good back then, or later in his career, that much later anyway. I guess the only other guy, so the one guy I was thinking that it could be, because I don't remember exactly how his numbers were when he was here, but he was only here 1 year, and he was supposed to be a guy who got on base a lot, was A.J. Przinski.
Przinski is not on the list.
Okay, good.
And I'm fine with that.
Screw that guy.
I did say at least 200 plate attempts. I don't remember how many he got with the team, but I imagine it was more than that.
All right.
You want me to run through the list?
Yeah, let me give us the ones that we didn't get.
All right, so we got number 1 is Barry Bonds, 2 is FP Santangelo, 3 is Ellis Burks, 4 is Brett Butler, 5 is Dustin Moore.
Dustin Moore.
394 in 2004.
Okay, totally a forgettable Giant.
263 at-bats, so not a lot of time. He got on base pretty well, but he batted 274, which on our team, batting average tends to count for more than on base.
He was the original Cody Ross, though. You know what I mean?
That's nice. A good point.
Yeah. Who else
number
we got?
Number six, we got Moises Alou.
Oh, that's a good call. Yeah.
05 to 06, on-base percentage of 379, batting average of 312. Alou was fun to have around, other than being the moistest Alou of the family.
He used to pee on his hands, everybody. He used to pee on his hands.
Wow. Right, apparently it worked. So, I mean, you can't say a whole lot.
No, that's true. He's a good player.
Number 7 was Brett Maine, 98 to 99.
Brett Maine, third baseman, right?
375.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually a catcher.
Was he a catcher? Oh,
Brett
Maine
was a catcher.
Okay.
In the number 8, we've got Darrell Hamilton, 97 to 98, center field, 371 on base percentage, 281 batting average.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. And then you've got 9 JT Snow and 10 Bill Miller. So.
Did I say Bill Miller?
You called Bill Miller. You got Bill Miller.
Okay, cool. All right, so I think we got a lot of work to do before we could take down Giants Pod, but I think we could do it. I'm a believer in that. But you know what I'm not a believer in? That we're going to win it all. So let's talk about why we will win it all in a segment we do at the end of every show, even though it's starting to feel a little bit crazy now. What are we going to do when we're like actually mathematically eliminated when this segment comes up? What are we going to do?
We're
going to
rename it Why We Will Win It All Next Year.
Yeah, Why We Will Win It All Next Year. All right, here's the thing. We won't. Too bad. We can't score. We can't take pitches. We can't hit with runners in scoring position. We can't wipe our butts. We can't pee into the toilet without getting it all over the seat. We can't leave good tips at the cafe. We can't, I don't know. We can't do anything, dude. We're horrible. Mike.
I'm gonna flip that around by saying because I still believe.
Nice.
All right.
Ben.
Rampant optimism.
Ben, what do you say?
I'm going to say,
and on that note,
educated opinion.
And on that note, that's going to end the show. This has been the Torture Cast, episode number 12, on September the 4th, now September the 5th of 2011. Thank you very much for listening. You can email us. We are torturecast@gmail.com. Of course, you should follow us on Twitter. Of course, you should do that. We are at TortureCast. And if you want to go to, should we unveil it? Do you think it's ready for the unveiling?
I think it's set for the unveiling.
Let's do it. Let's unveil this bad boy. If you want to go to torturecast.com, you can see our blog. And if you want to write on that blog, you should contact us by emailing us, because we are looking for people to write stuff. And we're going to hopefully get a little bit of blogging going on ourselves there as well. So go check us out there. Also, it's really, really cool looking now that Ben has done a bunch of work to it. So thank you, Ben, for that.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. And definitely leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes if you find yourself so inclined. If you don't, you should just not listen. All right? You should just not listen if that's the case.
Go buy a pizza instead.
Yeah, go buy a nasty pizza and leave a bad Yelp review. But anyway, I want to thank my co-hosts, Mike G and Ben Lee. My name is Willie Dills, signing out for Torture Cast. We will see you next time. Cue the music.
Boom.
Boom. Boom. Boom.
Boom.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me to be where little cable cars climb halfway to the stars. The morning fog may chill the air. I don't care. My love waits there in San Francisco. Above the blue and windy sea, when I come home to you, San Francisco, your golden sun.
thank you to everybody for listening again to the TortureCast, the podcast about the San Francisco Giants by and for the fans. If you'd like to participate, you can do so by following us on Twitter. We are at TortureCast. Of course, you can always email us, torturecast@gmail.com. For Ben Lee, Mikey G, my name is Willie Dills, saying we'll see you next time. Home, baby.